Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. As we look ahead to a holiday season that needs to be different this year because it just is not safe to gather together with people outside our households right now, a lot of people are trying to come up with different ways to celebrate the holiday. I came across this wonderful idea this morning from a friend who posted it on Facebook. She says, "For Thanksgiving this year, since we can't be together, my family created a gratitude calendar. Each person is assigned a day, and on that day, the rest of us send little notes of appreciation to that person. It doesn't take long to do. It's fun. And on your day, you get all these lovely, heartfelt sentiments from the people who in other years we might have taken for granted." I think that is a lovely idea. And if you have any creative ideas for how to celebrate the holidays this year, we would love to hear them. You can call 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And one of the things that I'm going to miss most this year is playing games with my extended family. It's just such a great way to be together, to laugh, to have fun, to learn about each other. A lot of people are missing playing games, but there are ways to make it happen virtually. Annalise Tarnowski is co-owner of The Rook Room in Des Moines, a relatively new business that it's all about playing games, and she is on the line now. Hello, Annalise.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And I just mentioned some of the reasons I love playing games with family and friends. What is it about playing games together, do you think, that is just really so special?
Yeah, I love games because I think it really gets people in a creative kind of spirit. There's really something interesting about play when it comes to either learning a game from someone, teaching a new game, coming together to create a creative situation together. I don't know. They're really unique, and I love connecting with people over things that aren't just the news or the weather or something like that.
Well, it kind of breaks down some barriers, so you get to interact in a way that feels somewhat safe and open. Of course, there are people who are bad at losing, and I think every parent has gone through that experience with their child, the years when children are bad at losing. So that can be bad. But as we get through that, I mean, it's just such a warm way to be together.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm missing that too a lot right now. My family was definitely a board games family growing up. You know, a lot of the Sorry, Pictionary, all those kind of classic games. We just had a really huge game shelf. And yeah, I'm really missing my family. They live in another state. So we've been trying to find some creative ways to still keep in touch and play games, even though we can't be sitting around the same table. So,
well, and you also picked the perfect moment to found a business that's based on people bringing people together to play games. Or for people aren't familiar with the Rook Room, what was the idea behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it started, you know, a friend and my friend Tony, we started talking about board games kind of all the time. We realized we were really getting together for drinks or something like that, we would always end up talking about board games. And we realized when we were in town, we would go to a coffee shop or a brewery, and we were there for kind of a long time because some board games can take a long time. And we were like, wow, I kind of feel like I'm taking up space for too long. And, you know, I wish there was a place where we could go bring these games, still, you know, have a beer or have some lunch and not feel like we're just taking up a table all day. So little by little, we were like, how can we build a space like that if it doesn't exist right now? So now we're just a pop-up. We don't have our own space yet, but we've been working with libraries, cafes, coffee shops, breweries to bring our growing board game collection out for people to play, and doing a bunch of other little themed events and all that kind of stuff. So, of course, that was before the pandemic. And now that we are on lockdown and being face-to-face and touching lots of board game pieces back and forth is just not safe, we have had to get creative about how to use our analog business in a digital space.
Well, and let's talk about that digital space, because I know a lot of people have come up with ways to play games together online. A lot of people have tried and failed. I am in that category. We've had some success. We have had some that really have fizzled and is, you know, just a whole lot more trouble than they're worth. But you have quite a bit of experience with this now. So tell me some of the ways that you think people can connect successfully digitally to play games.
Absolutely. So the thing that I started to notice pretty early on, I had a friend, we got on a video call and she said, let's play Yahtzee together. And I was like, yes, Yahtzee, you can absolutely play if you can find five dice somewhere around your house and then print out one of the sheets from online. I mean, you've got a game. That's it. So we both got on a video call and, you know, it was my turn. I would roll my dice and then it was her turn and she would roll her dice and she beat me every time and I'm kind of a sore loser. But it was still fun. It was still good to see my friend. And especially after it had been, you know, quite a few months already, we were like, you know, we've talked about what it's like to be at home and we're still at home and we're still stuck at home and we still wish we could be together. And now we're connecting over something that's just different than that and still fun and lighthearted. So I went through my games that I have on my shelf and I was like, which ones of these can you play with other people? And the big thing I noticed is that if you have a game that's based on cards or chance, those are really hard to play over the internet, because if I draw a card, you might also draw that card at home because we have different decks and there's just too much left up to chance. So looking through my list, any games that didn't really have anything to do with cards, those could be winners. So that's a little tip.
Okay, so don't play cards online unless you're playing through an interface that allows you to do it, because obviously there are ways, you know, people have made businesses based on allowing you to play cards digitally.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so all right, so cards or chance are out. What games work well that way?
Absolutely. So Trivial Pursuit is one that I think, you know, even without the board, just playing the cards, reading them to each other, that's really easy. Also, things like Scattergories or Pictionary, anything that might have a generator online where you could get all of the cards. If, you know, if not everyone in your family or your friend group owns the game, you can find a lot of these that'll give you prompts. So, you know, if you're doing the drawing one like Pictionary, you can find some prompts online and hold a piece of paper up to your camera while you try to draw it and get your team to guess it. So party games like those are pretty easy. 20 questions, charades. I mean, anything you might do with a big group of people that doesn't require drawing a bunch of cards is pretty easy to do over Zoom.
Right. Well, and if you have a topic generator, that's key. So you need to have that maybe on your phone or on a different device, right?
Yep. And those are pretty, you know, if you just Google topic generator, prompt generator, or even the type of game you want to play. So if you say, you know, play Pictionary online, I'm sure there's a bunch of websites and they'll give you a bunch of ideas and you can even adjust it for age group and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and I was talking to somebody the other night who was playing Pictionary online and using the whiteboard function on Zoom, and they felt like that actually made it extra fun and extra funny because people are so bad at drawing on computers.
Yeah. Yes, that's something I love about the online drawing games, is it kind of levels the playing field. I'm a terrible drawer. Even pen and paper can't do it. So over the internet, when nobody can do it, it makes it even more fun, even goofier. And I think there's something to be said, too, for seeing the games that you might have been playing for years every holiday in a different way for the first time. And even if they're a little bit more fun, like Pictionary is, I mean, that's so special to this year.
Now, there are people who have tried to streamline playing online so that you can connect easier with people. You don't have to figure this out yourself. You don't have to start from scratch. What are some of the resources that you would recommend for people if they don't want to start from scratch?
Absolutely. Well, there is an app. It's called House Party. You can do it on a phone, a tablet, a computer. So any kind of device that could connect to the internet that has a screen, and it has a video chat app built into it. It has a over-the-phone app built into it. And there are games that you can choose while you're in there that'll show up on the screen. So I was just playing Uno, actually, with my boyfriend the other day. We were still already in the same room, but I wanted to play Uno, and we don't have it. So we both downloaded this app, and yeah, we played Uno against each other. And it's kind of cool, too, because you can see the cards sort of over your friends' faces, and it kind of feels like you are playing a round of table. So House Party is an app that has everything built into it to play a bunch of different games. And you don't have to worry about knowing how to use the video software or turning on your camera or any of that kind of stuff. It does it all for you.
Oh, nice. Well, that's one of the things that I have run into in trying to play games virtually with family is that not everybody has the same level of technological savvy. So that sounds like one that, that might even the playing field that way too.
I think so too. And you know, I've been using video software for what seems like years now every day. And I still even have trouble. So I think it's always good to try, you know, especially if you're missing people this holiday season and you're new to trying to use a video platform, you know, ask for help, give yourself a little bit of extra time, and give yourself a little bit of patience because they can be complex and they're all a little bit different. But once you get to see the person's face on the other side that you maybe haven't gotten to see in a long time, it's always worth it.
All right. Any other technological boosters that we might want to look into other than House Party?
You know, I think any of the free video software is worth trying out. There aren't too many apps that have games already built in, but House Party is the main one that I would recommend, yeah.
All right. Now, you've also gone pretty old school during this pandemic, and you've been playing a lot of Dungeons & Dragons, right?
Absolutely, yes. Something I love about Dungeons & Dragons or any, you know, they're called role-playing games, that you do a tabletop role-playing game, is that even when you're all together with people, there isn't always a board. You're kind of making up a story in your head. You each have characters who are good at doing certain things, and then you have your game master that's telling you, okay, so now you've walked into this room, and here's what you see, and here's who's there. What do you want to do? You know, you're kind of already playing make-believe, so doing it over the internet is pretty much the same as doing it around a table.
Now, I have a 13-year-old son, and I think that he and his friends would love Dungeons & Dragons, but I never played it when I was younger. My husband never played it, and it's super, super complicated. So the whole idea of trying to introduce him to it, he's been very resistant. But he's playing Minecraft and other things online with friends, which actually has been a great way for him to connect with his friends, for sure. But if you want to get started with Dungeons & Dragons or some of these other really complicated role-playing games, I can see the attraction, but it feels a little daunting. How do you start?
Okay, well, let me tell you. Oh, my gosh. It's easier than you think. Dungeons & Dragons specifically is kind of the most well-known one because it has a lot of rules and there's a lot of complexity. But any tabletop role-playing game can be as simple as, you know, me making a character for you, Charity, that might be, you know, a version of you who has great charisma, you know, that's one of your biggest skills, and giving you a situation like, okay, you walk into a party and there's nobody you know, what do? And now you and I are playing a role-playing game together. So it can be really simple. But I would say the Rook Room has been hosting classes for a while to teach people how to play. So usually it's a three-part series for kind of how to play D&D, how to run a game if you're totally new and none of your friends know how to play either. And then another class about building a world. So what is it like to build all the characters that'll be in the world? So we have some of those that'll be going up online soon. And there's a group called Des Moines & Dragons right here in Des Moines that has quite a few different podcasts you can listen to where they're playing games. And Paul Privatier, who started it, helps us build out a lot of our D&D classes, too. So they have a lot of resources for learning how to play. But just know that, you know, there's a role-playing game for just about anything. So if you love My Little Pony, you can find a role-playing game for it. So if you're interested, I would say just start doing a little bit of reading and try it.
I want to go to the phone. Suzanne is on the line in Grinnell. Hi, Suzanne.
Oh, hello. Yes. I recently played Taboo, which is one of my family's favorite games. My sister and niece have a set, and I and my husband and son have a set. And we played teams across Google Chat. And it worked really well because it's mainly a voice thing. And you're trying to get people to guess, and that engages across the internet.
Oh, nice. So have you done it more than once?
Yes, we've played it a couple times. And we also played Scriblio. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But that's on the internet itself. And then you ask somebody to come into your game you know, you have to invite, you know, do an invite.
Okay.
But that worked really well. So it's kind of like a Pictionary on the internet.
Well, nice. I mean, the fact that you've done it more than once, Suzanne, is a great endorsement, because I will tell you that my game of charades was just moderately positive. I think we considered it to be a success, but we haven't done it again. So that's a great endorsement.
Well, the thing with charades is you have to have the whole view of somebody, so it's hard to have it carry. But the cues you're giving with Taboo are oral, and so that makes it easier to, you have the facial expressions, but you don't need anything more than that to make it pull off.
Nice. Well, Suzanne, thank you so much for calling. I'm glad you're having success, and happy holidays. I mean, Annalise, that seems like great advice from Suzanne to come up with things that really work. And what do you think you've done online game-wise that has been the most fun for you during this pandemic, Annalise?
Oh, man. Well, there's a whole series of games by the maker Jackbox. So these take a little bit more to set up, but my friends and I have been playing them pretty much every Thursday since lockdown started. So that is the endorsement for me, is that the Jackbox games are very replayable. So you'd purchase a pack of games. There's usually about 5 or 6 games inside of it. And you play them by watching them on a screen of some kind, TV, computer, something like that. And then you log into it just with your phone. So I have bought all the games. I put it up over Zoom to show my friends, and then they all just need to log in through their phones. And they've got trivia games, drawing games, word games, fill-in-the-blank kind of games. So there's a lot of variety there. And, the limit is really just your imagination with those ones. So those are the ones that we've been playing a lot, the Jackbox games.
All right. So they keep you coming back. And I'm sure you're still missing game night with friends. But do you feel like you're getting kind of the same experience out of playing these games virtually?
I think so. And again, I think that there's been a lot of games that I like. There's one called Codenames that is a really fun word game and pretty easy to pick up. And the online version of it has kind of an extra feature that you could never do in person, just because of how the layout works. And I like it even better online. So
wow,
it's been fun to sort of learn the games that I've been playing for years all over again in a new way online. And sometimes I like it even better.
Nice. Well, Annalise Tarnowski, thank you so much for talking with me. And I hope that we all get together in rooms together again soon. But it's cool to know that there might be some things that are even better online.
Oh, I agree, and it's so good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Annalise Tarnowski is co-owner of the Rook Room in Des Moines. We're all going to need a lot of creativity to really feel the warmth and joy of this holiday season. But the most important thing is that we keep reaching out to each other and talking to each other, connecting, especially with those in our lives who might be feeling extra isolated during these winter months. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.